I'd like to welcome you here once again in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Like I said, an honor and a privilege to be with you. And it's an honor and a privilege to serve our Lord and Master. And I'm thankful when I get not only to say that, but to feel that. And we can feel that, we feel that strongly through His Holy Spirit. So I'm truly, sincerely thankful to be with you and to worship with you this morning. I'd like to continue on with some thoughts and some scriptures that are contained in the Record of Mormon. I said the Record of Mormon because of the other portion that I gave last week on an abridgment. The abridgment of Mormon. Okay, which was a man. It was a man used of the Lord in order to keep track of and to compile and to abridge many plates that were trusted into his care that had been handed down from generation to generation. Though they would be concisely and intricately and very powerfully preserved until we were to be reading them today. And so I was looking into many of the things that are contained, and there are so many things that are intricately contained in this record that I'm always amazed and challenged and to look into things further. This morning, as I was looking over some scriptures and some thoughts that I had, that I wrote down a couple of things. This record spans approximately 6,000 years of time. Approximately, I say. It starts in the beginning of the Book of Mormon, approximately 600 years before Christ in Jerusalem is where the first is set. With a man and his family, a prophet of the Lord. We find that that within the Book of Mormon and this record, that there was a people that had found also an earlier record. And that's why I say that it spans 6,000 years, because there was a time when they had found a record that was contained upon plates of gold. And then was also translated by a man who was a prophet and seer at that time to be included in this record as well. And that's why it goes in succession and starts with 600 years before Christ, because they found a record down in time, and then it was translated into their language, and it was placed within the Book of Mormon in that particular period of time. Okay, but was going back to what we actually would verify within the Bible in the book of Genesis to the time of the Tower of Babel. People said, we were there. We were there. And they were led to a choice land, being this land, and with their families, and they were taught of the Lord as well. We find, and we're going to be reading, and this is, like I said, just some abbreviations and some thoughts that I had that I wanted to give to you this morning. This record was sealed by God and preserved until Joseph Smith was instructed to find them and to translate them. And this is by the power of God, not by the power of man, but the power of God. And we look at many times when there were things that were translated, but they were not lifting up men, nor should they. But by the power of God would they be used in order to translate a record, such as King Mosiah. And that was handed down from his father, King Benjamin. And there were these stones prepared that a person could translate, but it would be the power of God. Okay. The people that I mentioned of that were 9,000 to 6,000 years ago that came from the Tower of Babel, there was a pair of these that they called interpreters prepared at that time for the use in translating. And we find that within the Bible there are interpreters. They were called, in the Bible, they were called Urim and Thummim for light in judgment, if you will. There's a whole study upon that we won't get into. The language that these were written in were called a Reformed Egyptian. The language itself was, they say, confounded so that others couldn't understand it, so it could be preserved of the Lord. It was altered. In other words, confused. You and I would not be able to read them. It was commanded of the Lord that they wouldn't be read. It was done intentionally, that they wouldn't be read until the Lord's time, that they would be translated. We have translators today that translate languages, and they use a key to different types of languages. You yourself could learn a language, and you could translate out of different languages into English. We have those that we use within our church in different countries in order to help to translate, like the Book of Mormon. We know now that it's into Swahili, and it's going into different portions of Africa in Swahili. And so they were used where they were translating into that language. But we find that these were divinely translated into what the Lord wanted to come forth, or by the power of God. Most importantly, we find this abridgment, okay? Because if concisely being an abridgment or compilation, that if we had all that were available, we would not be able to carry it around. And so there are very choice and wise portions within the Lord that were to come forth in today's time. For today's time. Because there was a master vault, if you will, a main vault where all these were being kept. They are still, from what I understand, around today, but hid of the Lord. They were not to be found. But if we were faithful, and there is a promise that other things could be made known, if we were faithful in what we've been given. But we've been given what is concisely important for the restoration work. And also, like we were talking about this morning in our Sunday school, the restoration of His people. But not that people would be lifted up or we would be lifted up, but God's power would be made known and His Son, Jesus Christ, proclaimed. It contains, this abridgment contains the gospel of Jesus Christ. In purity, in plainness. His words and instruction to us as inherited Gentiles, but heirs of adoption through Jesus Christ. Believing, and responsible to carry forward His promises to His people. But once again, it's not to lift up human beings, but to lift up Jesus Christ and the Father, the main thrust, to witness of His marvelous likeness, marvelous gospel. Now, I had left off last week where we were looking into, in and around the time when Jesus Christ would manifest Himself to lost sheep. Reference, once again, would be John 10:16. Those of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But I wanted to read on page 666 of Mormon's abridgment, or record, if you would. And we'd be turning to different portions of it. Page 666. And I'd like to start on verse 27. And here we find that he is referencing, once again, the book of Isaiah. And we talked last time about the importance, the very wise purpose of him placing the book of Isaiah, many portions of the book of Isaiah in the Book of Mormon, because it had to do with not only the rise and the judgment of the house of Israel. There will be their afflictions, and it pronounces their judgments throughout them, throughout the book of Isaiah, and then their reclaiming and their restoration and inheriting the lands of their inheritance once again. And these people were once again a portion of the house of Israel. They were of the tribe of Joseph. There were many promises and prophetic, there were revelation about Joseph and his seed being very intricate in these last days. They were placed upon this land for a reason. And I think it is symbolic of when Joseph was sent into Egypt ahead of his brethren, and in order that they may be preserved through the famine. And yet, of course, we know that they were there for 400 years until the Deliverer was manifested to them to help lead them out by the power of God. Once again, Moses was used, just like other men. Men are not exalted, but used. And I believe it is that type. The seed of Joseph came to this land. And through the seed of Joseph, they would keep records. And this record is a record of those people of the seed of Joseph. And we find that inherited Gentiles, once again, we will be bringing that gospel back to them. And this record will be going forth to the rest of the house of Israel. Once again, Joseph's seed being made manifest to the rest of the house of Israel, that they may be reclaimed by the power of God. Once again, restored to a knowledge of their Savior, that they would be brought into light and not confused or confounded. Because I've made this statement to you before. You know, there are those of the house of Israel that are throughout this world. There may be groups of people that are held in the hollow of His hand in different portions of the world. And do you think that they know that they're covenanted? Do you think that they are there and they're obscurity, it's called. They are there maybe in darkness, uninformed. But yet they may be there in a sort of purity in race. Or in, you know, kept their heritage through bloodline, but still in obscurity and need to come to knowledge. Out of darkness, out of obscurity, but to knowledge. But they shall. And the Lord promises and He says that this is going to happen. And He says, I give unto you that you shall search these things diligently, for great are the words of Isaiah. For he surely as spake as touching all things concerning my people which are of the house of Israel. Therefore must be needs be that he must speak also to the Gentiles. And once, like I was saying earlier, that's us. He's speaking to us. And all things that he spake hath been and shall be, even according to the words which he spake. Therefore give heed to my words. Write the things which I have told you. And according to the times and will of the Father, they shall go forth unto the Gentiles. These are the words of Jesus Christ. These are the words of the Master. These are the words He's talking to you and I. He's not only talking to them, He's talking to you and I. He's looking down through history, through time. He knows you. He is the Creator. He has created us. They go forth unto the Gentiles, and whosoever will hearken unto my words and repenteth and is baptized, he says the same shall be saved. Search the prophets, for many there be that testify of these things. And we know, look through all of the records that we have available, the Bible, the Book of Mormon, we look at all the prophets that have prophesied. And I believe that there are many more that we may not have record of, but have testified through the thousands of years that the Lord has worked among His people and instructed them and commanded them and led them and taught them and preserved them. search the prophets, for many there be that testify of these things." And now it came to pass that when Jesus had said these words, he said to them again, after he had expounded all the scriptures unto them which they had received, he said unto them, "Behold, other scriptures I would that ye should write that ye have not." It came to pass that he said to Nephi, "Bring forth the record that you have kept." And Nephi brought forth the records, and he laid them before him. He cast his eyes upon them, and he said, "Verily I say unto you, I commanded my servant Samuel the Lamanite, that he should testify to this people, that at that day that there should, that the Father should glorify his name in me, that there were many saints who should rise from the dead, and should appear unto many, and should minister unto them." Now Samuel the Lamanite, many years before, he prophesied of the coming of Jesus Christ. He told about his birth. He told about the signs of his birth. He told about natural signs. There would be a time when the day would be as if there would be no night. It would be as if it was day. And they talked about the sign of his death. And they could not kill the man. He was up upon a wall. They could not. They shot arrows upon him, at him and such. And they could not until he was done with what the Lord had instructed him to do. He told of also the death of Jesus Christ, lifted up for the sins of mankind, and told about that experience as well. And we find here that Jesus talked about to these people and brought also to their knowledge of when he arose, when there was that great calamity, when the shape of the land was all changed, and he descended to them after his resurrection. And he told them about these the things that they should write. That there were also signs and wonders that took place here. And this one, I referenced Matthew 27, verse 52 and 53, talking about what had happened at that time when there were many that arose from the dead after his resurrection, that came into Jerusalem and showed themselves, and that was known. They wrote it down. We have them. He wanted them to write that in their scriptures here. And he said to them, "Were it not so?" His disciples answered him and said, "Yea, Lord, Samuel did prophesy according to thy words, and they were all fulfilled." And Jesus said to them, "How be it that ye have not written this thing, that many saints did arise and appear unto many, and did minister unto them?" And it came to pass that Nephi remembered that this thing had not been written. And it came to pass that Jesus commanded that it should be written, therefore it is written according as he commanded. And not only the correlation that we find between here and the Bible, but I wanted to bring out to you also is that Jesus wanted, here is the Master, here is the Lord, here is who is manifesting himself to all generations, and he wanted these things written down. He commanded them that they should be written down, and they would be placed in this abridgment. In this abridgment. He wanted them placed there, okay? If you'd like to look over with me on page 668. And here we find that I would just like to take and to take a look at verse 4. And I won't read all of this here, but I also wanted to mention to you that... and these are the words which he did tell unto them, saying, once again, Jesus Christ speaking, "Thus saith the Father unto Malachi, Behold, I will send my messenger, whom he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom he seeks shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, ye shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Here we find where the Father had told him to tell these people that he wanted to place this within this abridgment, once again. That they wanted these things included. In the words of Malachi. Here we find. Over on page 671. Page 671. And I'd like to read verses 1 through 12 here. And once again, very important things. And now there cannot be written in this book, chapter 12, even a hundredth part of the things which Jesus did truly teach unto the people. But behold, the plates of Nephi do contain the more part of these things which he taught. Once again, like I was mentioning earlier, that, you know, we have this abridgment, but there is so much more that is somewhere in a vault on plates that would need to be translated. But there is a concise and wise record that we behold right now, that we have before us. And these things have I written, which are a lesser part of the things which he taught the people. And I have written them to the intent that they may be brought again unto this people from the Gentiles, according to the words which Jesus hath spoken. Once again, here's that place. He's talking about us again, about that important position that we have today. We have a very tall order, you and I, witnessing of this wondrous gospel. And when they shall have received this, which is expedient that they should have first, to try their faith. And how is that faith going to be tried? Well, first of all, belief. Belief in his gospel, belief in his commandments, belief that Jesus is who he says he is, believe that he is going to save you, belief that and to take part in that belief and act upon it, all many such things. If it so be that they shall believe these things, then the greater things be made manifest unto them. Greater things, first of all, it may be a greater and wiser important understanding of them. Is it that we may receive more sometime? Maybe more record? I'm not sure of that. That's within the mind of the Lord. And if it so be that they will not believe these things, then the greater things be withheld from them under their condemnation. There's the spirit of belief in what we read and utilizing them and not doubting them. He says, behold, I was about to write them all, which were engraven upon the plates of Nephi, but the Lord forbid it, saying, I will try the faith of my people, therefore I, Mormon, do write the things which have been commanded me of the Lord. See, he was commanded of the Lord, and this was a man by the name of Mormon. This is not the record of the Mormon church or of the Mormons or of their teachings. This is a record of Mormon, and is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible witnesses the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon witnesses of the Bible. I'm Mormon to write the thing which have been commanded me of the Lord. He was a man, but he was used of the Lord. He was used of the Lord. Just like you and I could be used of the Lord if we are faithful and obedient. We could be used of the Lord. And I've said this before in the messages, you know, that there are many times when out there in the world that we have to make our living in or existence in, that you could be the person that God sent. You could be the person God has sent, you see, if you are willing to place your hands, your life in the hand of the Almighty God, in faith, in willingness, in obedience, in love. You could be that person that God has sent for whatever purpose, wise purpose in Him. And He says, now I, Mormon, make an end of my sayings and proceed to write the things which have been commanded me. Therefore, whether you should behold that the Lord truly did teach the people for the space of 3 days. After that, He did show Himself unto them oft, and did break bread oft, and bless it, and give it unto them. This is such that He gave, and when they had the Last Supper, and He broke bread and He gave it to them. And they did sop the wine with them. And they did here too. Or however man that He served it to them. He broke bread off and blessed and gave it to them. Why? Well, He was instituting what He did there too at the Last Supper. This is my body. Eat of it. This was shed for you. This is my blood. I want you to drink some of it in remembrance. This was shed for you. And He wanted them to do it. And that is why we partake of the bread and blood of Christ in remembrance of the covenant that you made with Him, the life that you pledged unto Him to live in repentance, remembrance in keeping His commandments, remaining faithful. And it came to pass they did teach and minister unto the children of the multitude whom he had, whom hath been spoken. He did loose their tongues, they did speak unto their fathers great and marvelous things, even greater than he had revealed unto the people, and loosed their tongues that they could utter. And this must, I am assuming this is probably younger children he's talking about here, where he'd ministered, that they had said great and marvelous things, and that he had moved them to speak, the little children. And it came to pass after he ascended into heaven the second time, that he showed himself unto them and had gone unto the Father, and after healing all their sick and their lame, and opened the eyes of the blind and unstopped the ears of the deaf, even had done all manner of cures among them, and raised a man from the dead, and had shown forth his power unto them, and ascended unto the Father. That the multitude gathered themselves together, and they both saw and heard these children. Yea, even babes did open their mouths and uttered marvelous things. And the things which they did were forbidden that there should not any man write them. Were that they that beautiful, that plain, that precious, that powerful? Came to pass the disciples whom Jesus had chosen began from that time forth to baptize and to teach as many as did come unto them. As many as were baptized in the name of Jesus were filled with the Holy Ghost. Many of them saw and heard unspeakable things which are not lawful to be written. And they taught and did minister one to another. And they had all things common among them, every man dealing justly one with another. You know, you can take a look over, I believe, in the book of Acts, talking about how the New Testament church was set up, and how they said they were operating out of Solomon's porch. And we know the experience of Ananias and Sapphira, which we don't need to go into, about obedience to our word to the Lord. And it said the same thing there. They had all things common and to deal justly one with another. It says such was the New Testament church established at that time then. Now we have an experience here too. Within this abridgment, we have many concise things that were discussed here too. And after the establishment of the church through Jesus Christ upon this continent, they asked then, what would you call the church? It was a source of discussion amongst them, and he didn't want it to be a source of discussion amongst them. And he basically telling them, shouldn't it be simple to you? Shouldn't it make sense to you why it is that the church should be called, he says, after my name? He is coming back to this earth, the bridegroom. Who is that? Jesus Christ. And we find in verse 17, down the page on 672. And the Lord said unto them, verily I say unto you, why is it the people should murmur and dispute because of this thing? Have they not read the scriptures which say, you must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name, for by this name shall ye be called at the last day. And whoso taketh upon them my name and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. Therefore, whatsoever you shall do it in my name. Therefore, you shall call the church in my name, and you shall call upon the Father in my name, that he will bless the church for my sake. How be it my church, save it be called in my name. If it be called in Moses' name, then it be Moses' church. For if it be called in the name of a man, then it be the church of a man. But if it be called in my name, then it is my church, if it so be they are built upon my gospel. And verily I say unto thee that you are built upon my gospel, therefore you shall call whatsoever things you do in my name. Wherefore, if you call upon the Father for the church, if it be in my name, the Father will hear you. And we take a look through the New Testament, and there are many places it talks about, of course, who being the head of the church, the bridegroom. And we also look where many places said the churches of Christ salute you. And so, yes, he is the bridegroom. It is the name of Christ that we take upon us. It is at the name of Christ that all knees shall bow, all tongue confess. The name of Jesus Christ. So that's why, very important and concise that he had put this here as well. Actually, I'd like to take and follow through here. At verse 22, there's another portion I'd like to bring out to us this morning. And if it so be that the church is built upon my gospel, then will the Father show forth his own works in it. If it not be built upon my gospel and is built upon the works of men or upon the works of the devil, verily I say unto you, they have their joy in their works for a season. By and by the end cometh, and they are hewn down, cast into the fire from whence there is no return. If their works do follow them, for it is because of their works that they are hewn down. Wherefore remember the things that I have told you. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, he says. And show me thy faith by thy works. Behold, I have given unto you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. My Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, and after I have been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men to me. That as I have been lifted up by men, even so men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause I have been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. The works themselves, we know, are not going to save them, but is the works that tell the work of Jesus Christ upon their heart and in their life. But it is through the blood and the grace that we'll be made enough. We must know that. But our works shall show the work of Christ upon our lives. That is where the essence of it is. And it shall come to pass, whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And once again, we take a look in 2 Peter. It's the answer of a good conscience. To repent. To turn from the ways of man, the ways of the world, from the natural man to the spiritual man. To turn to God. The answer of a good conscience, because why? You don't have any plague in your conscience because you have repented. And your conscience is clear before the Lord. Whoso repenteth and baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endure to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. 2 Corinthians 5:10 talks about the judgment seat of Christ. Very good. Very much goes with here. And he that endureth not to the end, the same as this, also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return because of the justice of the Father. And this is the words which he hath given unto the children of men. We live by faith unto endurance. And the scriptures are there to minister us into the gospel and to encourage and lead and teach and sustain. But it is by choice that we walk the path of righteousness in faithfulness, that our good works do show the work of Christ upon our heart. And for this cause he fulfilleth the words, verse 31, which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words, and no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Wherefore nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith, and the repentance of all their sins, and their faithfulness to the end. This is the commandment, repent all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, be baptized in my name, and that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel, and ye know the things that ye must do in my church, for the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye also do. For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if you do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. And we search the words of Christ. We search the scriptures. They say they testify of me. And they will sustain us. The word is that important, that it is correlated. It is one and the same as at Jesus Christ. He was the Word. He was the manifesting of the Word. Take a look at the first portion of the book of John. It talks about that. He is the Word. He was a representation of the Word. The Word given him, the gospel of the Father unto the Son, in declaring the Father in all things, and all rule and authority put under Jesus Christ. concerning all things, when then it shall be all turned over, when all creation is done. And time shall be no more. And we're knocking on that door when time is not going to be counted. Other than, he says, there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of peace. And then a time of called the second resurrection. But I do not believe that within the millennial, starting of the millennial reign, I think you can take your calendar and you can rip it up. I believe with all my heart that's going to happen. You're going to take your calendar, you're going to throw it away. You won't care to look at it anymore. I have been used to, throughout, I felt very undressed if I did not have my watch on. You know, heaven forbid that I should walk out of the house one day without my pants or whatever the matter, but make sure I have my watch on. Because that seems like I put my glasses on in the morning and I look for my watch. Always been that way ever since I've been in school. But my belief and my faith is I will not need it anymore. But you know, it also says that our my knowledge and also my physical feature will be perfect. My understanding, most importantly, perfect. So I can probably take these glasses off. Who knows? But the Lord says my understanding shall be perfect. And blessed and holy, that's part in the first resurrection. That's the beginning of the millennial reign. And that's when Jesus comes. And that's that time that's coming shortly. And we see these signs and wonders today come performing before us in the name of the Lord. Today, He is making bare His arm in the eyes of all the nations. Today, we look at the news article after news article of this, that, and the other. If you look through your scriptures and look through prophecies, we bounce them off one another every time we are in Sunday school together. Did you see this and did you see that? Because we're all interested in keeping one another up and informed about what's going on around us. And the Lord said, I would not have you ignorant of the time in which you live. And so, yes, that is important. The time, we're knocking on that time now. I would like to take a look. Let's look at chapter 13 here. We're going back to back with this. Verse 1. And Jesus is speaking once again. Write the things which ye have seen and heard. Say that those be those which are forbidden. Write the works of the people which shall be even as hath been written of that which hath been. You know, and there's also, I'd stop there for just a moment, that there are things that they were forbidden to write in the scriptures. Now, some of which were some of the very heavenly things that Jesus said. They said there were words that could not even be uttered. There is a heavenly speech that cannot be uttered. And also, there's a different portion within the Book of Mormon. It talks about that there were secretive works that were done. There were secrets of them of old had to do with combinations and had to do with basically dealings of the evil one. And they said, no, you're not going to write those things down. Because I don't want them to come forth to the people. It would be a destruction to the people. It would be there is an evil behind them. And there is, of course, an evil spirit behind them too. What writings they were, I'm not going to guess at. But those things were not to be written down either in other portions of the Book of Mormon. They were commanded not to. No, and they're not going to. They wouldn't be. What's important? Within the Bible it says it's a shame to talk of those things that are done of them in secret, that we want to lift up and spend our time more intricately upon the things that are going to encourage, lead, and teach, and sustain, and build up our faith, build up His gospel, build up His congregation, build up His church and the body of Christ. That's what's important. That's where we need to spend our life. We talk about the other things. What can that do? That can also make our faith languish too. Once in a while, we might have to talk about the other side of the coin to understand what it is we're being saved from. To understand what we're being saved to. We do have to acquaint with it. Because Jesus talked many, many times about hell. He talked about things to stay away from. Sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we need to wake up, even myself. Verse 2. For behold, out of the books which have been written, and which shall be written, shall this people be judged, for by them shall their works be known unto men. And so you know the thing is that, just a second, I'm going to go on to the verse or two. And behold, all things are written by the Father. Therefore, out of the books which shall be written, shall the world be judged. Know ye that you shall be judges of this people according to the judgment which I shall give unto you, which shall be just. Therefore, that what manner of men ought you to be? Verily I say unto you, even as I am, Jesus Christ. And now, he says, I go unto the Father. And so we find how important these things are. I would like to go on, if you will. And so we were reading a little earlier, he says there's not even a hundredth part of things he truly did teach the people here. But they are very, very concisely put within this abridgment for us to understand. And like I said, I'm always amazed by what I... And as I was compiling what I was wanting to bring forth, you know, when I was... This subject, truly amazed once again at how much the Lord did truly put within this abridgment. I'd like to turn to page 687. Page 687, chapter 1. And we have the comment here of the person that was used to abridging, whose name was Mormon. And I'd like to read verses 1 through 5 here. Now I, Mormon, make a record of the things which I have both seen and heard, and call it the Book of Mormon. And that's why we have the name upon the cover. And call it the Book of Mormon. And about the time that Amram hid up the records unto the Lord, he came unto me. Now this is a man that those records had been passed down, you know, many times through from father to son, but not always the case. Not always the case. And here we find that here was a young man that he was to pass these on to. And he was instructing him. And he had told him, about a certain time when you get to a certain age, I want you to go. And this, you remember what I taught you about where they were at. And you're going to go there and you're going to get these things. And the Lord is going to instruct you, basically, and to make up this abridgment. So the man's name was Amram. He hid up the records unto the Lord. And he came unto me, I being about 10 years of age. And I began to be learned somewhat after the manner of the learning of my people. And Amram said unto me, I perceive that thou art a sober child, and art quick to observe. Therefore, when they are about 24 years old, I would that you should remember the things that you have observed concerning this people. And when you are of that age, go to the land of Antum, unto the hill which is be called Shim. And there I have deposited unto the Lord all the sacred engravings concerning this people. And behold, you shall take the plates of Nephi. Now, I'll have to preface something here. And I won't go to that passage. But remember I said that a prophet of the Lord had started preaching in Jerusalem, where the Book of Mormon starts out from the very beginning. The prophet's name was Lehi. His son's name was Nephi. And he had other sons, but the faithful son, mainly, he had two other faithful sons, Jacob and Joseph, but Nephi was a spiritual leader among the people, and he would keep a record. And he makes the statement that they would be called the plates of Nephi. And he said, "You shall take the plates of Nephi unto yourself, and the remainder shall you leave in the place where they are. And you shall engrave upon the plates of Nephi all the things that ye have observed concerning this people." See, they kept a record. We find several places in this world, and you see archaeology coming forth in the news different times about plates being found in different portions of the world. There was one here, I think was it last year? Maybe it was 2 years ago, over in Iran. They found a record over there that were inscribed upon plates of brass. We've known for a long time about the plates of Darius, and they were upon metal plates also in rings. I'd seen a picture of them one time. and there are different portions of the world. And these were inscribed upon plates of brass, some upon plates of gold. And so, and I, Mormon, being a descendant of Nephi, and my father's name was Mormon, his father's name was Mormon, I remembered the things which Amram commanded me. Amram obviously wasn't his father. Okay? And so, I would like to turn over, if you will, to 697. I'd like to hurry up into, I shouldn't say the word hurry, but I'd like to get through a couple of other things, another portion about the other records of much earlier date. 697, and I'd like to read verse 25. And here we find that, remember, that he had leave the vault where the main records were being stored. Remember that? Okay. And now we find here that on verse 25 that, and now I'm Mormon, seeing that the Lamanites, now those were enemies to them. They were those that did not believe in the commandments of the Lord and always warring against those of the Nephite people who were generally the people that believed in the teachings and obedient unto the Lord. But we're finding that at this portion of time, that most all of them had turned away from the ways of the Lord, and they were all incurring the judgments of the Lord, and the Lord was not basically protecting any one of them other than a couple of people here, one of which is Mormon. We're going to find that that he is going to, not because I think a judgment of the Lord, but just his time had come, is going to be killed within one of those battles. Now I, Mormon, seeing that the Lamanites were about to overthrow the land, therefore I did go to the hill Shim, remember that name? And did take up all the records which Amram had hid up unto the Lord. Okay? And I don't want to get into much of the war that's going on here at this time. We're trying to stay upon the abridgment and the concise things that are there. Let's go over on the other page to verse 36 and 37. And Mormon once again speaking, therefore I write a small abridgment, daring not to give us a full account of the things which I have seen because of the commandment which I have received, and also that ye might not have too great a sorrow because of the wickedness of this people. They had turned away from the commandments of the Lord, and they were not going to be a blessed people there anymore. And we find that it's also we over into the other the old world, if you will, that the house of Israel had been rejected too, and facing the judgments of the Lord as well. Okay, even if we found remnants of the Old Testament church until there would become an apostasy. Okay, when the there would be, well, anyway, that's a study to itself upon the apostasy. Anyway, so we find that in verse 37, now I behold thus I speak unto their seed or their descendants, okay? And if it, when he talks about seed, now, if you know about it, of course, your mother and father, they had seed. That's their children. That's you. And maybe some of you have had children, not all of you. And that time may come. It may not, but it may come. And may the blessings of the Lord be upon you when you do have children and such, but those will be your seed too, you see. And so on and so forth. And that's, we won't get into the birds and the bees. That's not necessary, and that's not the thrust of this sermon whatsoever. But anyway, and now behold, thus I speak unto their seed or descendants, also to the Gentiles who have care for the house of Israel. Remember I talked about Gentiles, that's you and I. And there's a word called nursing fathers and mothers, and to help to restore them to the knowledge of their forefathers and the being covenanted people of the Lord, restored to a knowledge, brought into light out of obscurity or confusion. Okay? Care for the house of Israel, that realize and know from whence their blessings come. They need to understand that God is their Lord and Jesus is, was, shall be their Messiah or their Savior. And understand of the pureness of His gospel. Okay, I'd like to go forward to page 701. Page 701. And here we find the last man that is going to handle these records before they're hid up unto the Lord or in the earth. And here we find on page 701, chapter 3, verse 8. And therefore I make this record out of the plates of Nephi, and I hid up in the hill Cumorah all the records which had been entrusted unto me by the hand of the Lord, save it were these few plates which I gave unto my son Moroni. Moroni was the last minister, prophet, record keeper, abridger within the Book of Mormon. Few plates which I gave unto my son Moroni. Okay? I just wanted to read that. And I'd like to go over to page, back to page 204. Page 204. And I'd like to just read a verse here. Chapter 1. And now I, Mormon, being about to deliver up the record which I have been making, okay, into the hands of my son Moroni, behold, I have witnessed almost all the destruction of my people, the Nephites. And we talked about all their history in through here, and this is his comment about he had witnessed this, the wars, the destructions. We have people that have gone through many of our wars, and they have taken pictures, they have written down accounts. There is a man that was found, his writings were found about the Civil War, okay? And they were trying to prove whether they're accurate or not, because he had given accurate description, you know, pictorial views of the different wars that took place and their battles within the Civil War. And they thought it was too wonderful to be true that these things could exist. And they found out that the man that was actually real, and that he was in those areas, and he did do that. And the record is being published today within the last few years, and it's called Visions of the Storm. Anyway, he kept record of those battles, and it was very accurate. And then they learned things by how those took place and what happened, and they changed some little pieces of history because of it too, because of his eyewitness account. And so Mormon witnessed almost all the destruction of my people, the Nephites. Okay? And so, verse 8 talks about, wherefore I chose these things to finish my record upon them, which remainder of my record I shall take from the plates of Nephi, and I cannot write the hundredth part of the things of my people. But behold, I shall take these plates which contain these prophesyings and revelations, and put them with the remainder of my record, for they are choice unto me, and I know they will be choice unto my brethren. And so I just wanted to mention that there. And now, I would like to take a look at page 713. Page 713. I would like to get in these last couple of scriptures on this study. Page 713. I'd like to read. Start verse 98. And now behold, we have written this record according to our knowledge in the characters which are called among us the Reformed Egyptian, being handed down and altered by us according to our manner of speech. And if our plates had been sufficiently large, we would have written in the Hebrew, but the Hebrew hath been altered by us also. If we could have written in the Hebrew, behold, you would have no imperfection in our record. But the Lord knoweth the things which we have written, and also that none other people knoweth our language. And because that none of the people knoweth our language, therefore he hath prepared means for the interpretation thereof. And that's, of course, we find the interpreters of the two stones fixed within the rim of a bowl. Okay? And these things are written that we may rid our garments of the blood of our brethren who have dwindled in unbelief. Behold, these things which have desired concerning our brethren, yea, even their restoration to the knowledge of Christ, is according to the prayers of all the saints who have dwelt in the land. And may the Lord Jesus Christ grant that their prayers may be answered according to their faith. And may God the Father remember the covenant which He hath made with the house of Israel, that He may bless them forever through faith on the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we find that these things are going to be sealed up unto the Lord. And I'd like to turn, if you will, to, let's see here now, on page 714, there's a couple of verses I wanted to read here. And I just have a couple of more, not long ones, but wanted to get these in too, because they're very important. And now we find this is Moroni. Moroni is doing the abridging now. Moroni is doing the writing and keeping record and such. And Moroni is the last of his people, the last of those that were keeping the commandments of the Lord. Now I, Moroni, proceed to give an account of those ancient inhabitants who were destroyed by the hand of the Lord upon the face of this north country. We found that within this record, and this was by the people of Limhi, that they had come across, that they had found, that they had found a record that were given or that was kept by a people that came forth from the Tower of Babel. They were upon plates of gold. And they were given to a king by that time by the name of Mosiah in order to interpret, using those interpreters by the power of God. He was called a seer. Okay? And so, but they wanted these things incorporated in here as well. And they correlate with the Bible in the book of Genesis talking where they started out from that tower. The account of those who were there. And they just wanted to, and they had their wars and contentions, and they had fought until they killed each other off. But they kept a record. And so he says, I take mine account from the 24 plates which were found by the people of Limhi, and Limhi being their king, which is called the Book of Ether, or Ether, depending on who's pronouncing it. And I suppose that the first part of this record, which speaks concerning the creation of the world, and also of Adam, and an account from that time, even to the great tower, and whatsoever things transpired among the children of men until that time is had among the Jews. And the record that came forth, they say, from the mouth of the Jew, we have before us in the record of the Bible. Okay? And we do have that record. We have that account from the time of Adam to that time. It's had there, and so they didn't want to take up space upon this abridgment. So therefore I do not write those things which are transpired from the days of Adam until that time, but they're had upon the plates. And whoso findeth them, the same will have power that they get the full account. And those plates, and that account is within that vault, wherever it may be, kept under seal of the hand of the Lord. Okay? But behold, I give not the full account, but a part of the account I give from the tower down until they were destroyed. And on this wise, I do give the account. And then he goes through this. They're giving account of from Moroni, transcribing what was translated by, remember I said, King Mosiah, the seer? All right. And so it's already in their language, but it had been transcribed by Mosiah. And so Moroni is including what Mosiah had transcribed or translated. And he's telling about a prophet who kept the record, whose name was Ether. And then he gives the genealogy, which we won't go into. But I encourage you to read into it if you don't know of that, or to do anyway. And so we find of those people, and how the Lord had led and taught and preserved them and brought them out and over from the old country to this land. And once again, there was a prophecy given to them, a pledge, an exhortation that you shall worship the God of the land who is Jesus Christ. And you would be blessed of the Lord. It also gives a judgment unto those that shall not worship the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. And if we do not keep the commandments of the Lord, and this nation does not lift up the name of Jesus Christ today, we can find the judgments of the Lord placed upon us. And as the Book of Mormon says, the sword of His justice may hang over us at that day. I turn to page 759. 759. And I'd just like to read two verses here. Verse 107. And the Lord spoke to Ether, and this is after a great battle that had taken place, after the people had destroyed one another. Okay? And the Lord spoke to Ether, and He said unto him, Go forth. And he went forth and beheld that the words of the Lord had all been fulfilled. And he finished his record. And the hundredth part I have not written. And he hid them in a manner that the people of Limhi did find them. And that's how these people found that record. Okay? The people of Limhi did find them. And now the last words which are written by Ether. And are these. For the Lord will that I be translated, or that I suffer the will of the Lord in the flesh, it mattereth not. If it so be that I am saved in the kingdom of God. Amen. Chapter 1 here on page 760 talks about Moroni having made an end of abridging the count of the people of Jared. Okay? And he talks about in verse 3, chapter 1, I, Moroni, will not deny the Christ, therefore I wander whithersoever I can for the safety of my own life. Wherefore I write a few more things contrary to that which I supposed, for I supposed not to have written any more. But I write a few more things, that perhaps they may be of worth unto my children, the Lamanites, in some future day, according to the will of the Lord. And we know that they will and are going to go forth unto their seed by the promise of the Lord. And so, in closing of this study, I'd like to quote to you on page 775, I'm sorry. Page 775, chapter 10. And he gives a promise, an invitation, an exhortation, but mainly invitation to come unto the Lord and try Him out. He says, Behold, I will exhort you that when you shall read these things, if it be wisdom in God that you should read them, that you would remember how merciful the Lord hath been unto the children of men from the creation of Adam, even down until the time that you shall receive these things and ponder in your hearts. And when you shall receive these things, I would exhort you that you would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. And if you shall ask with a sincere heart and a real intent, having faith in Christ, He will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost you may know the truth of all things. And whatsoever thing is good and just is true, whether for nothing that is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledgeth that He is. And that you may know that He is by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore I would exhort you that you deny not the power of God, for He worketh by power according to the faith of the children of men. The same today, tomorrow, and forever. And so I think that's a very